dive in and sort of carry on from where Isaac left off. I don't have any Werther's Originals to throw at people. I'm just going to throw out probably some dad jokes. Maybe some, maybe I'll be funny this time. Who knows? But, you know, I do love our church. It's become a place of healing and freedom for so many. I believe it's a place of peace and his presence. Not because of who we are, not because of what any of us have done, but because Jesus is with us, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I believe, and I don't only believe it, I know it to be true, and what drew me to Local and drew so many people to Local is that this is a place of peace and a place where I believe where this isn't a church where you're going to find you're going to be forced to do anything, that there's complete freedom to follow him and follow the Spirit, becoming more and more like Christ, walking with him and him leading us into holiness together. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I'm going to share something today that I believe is scriptural. And this topic has been something that Alex and I have practiced from our early Christian walks. And it's brought us a lot of life and freedom to us personally. And I have the privilege of unpacking the practice of tithing. And if you've got notes that you're noting, I don't know, that you're writing, you can call it, we're going to call this Money Talks, like the good old-fashioned Money Talks, Money Talks. Holy cash, I need you. Holy cash, I need you. Oh, you got to be old to know that song. I asked Dan if he knew it, and he had no idea, which is a shame. And judging by the way that everybody's looking at me, no one knows what that is. But all right, I'll send out the link afterwards. We're going to start with the words of Jesus. I'm on a stool, which kind of feels weird, but it kind of feels like I'm smarter when I'm on it. It's like, it feels like I'm going to do some sort of monologue or poetry. I've never done that in my life. Spoken word. We're going to start with the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 19. We saw this last week when Isaac spoke, and he says this, Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin don't destroy and where thieves don't break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. No one can serve two masters. Either you hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Our use of money is probably one of the most reliable external indicators of where our heart is. Jesus presents it in a way that's completely binary. Choose one, God or money. There's no in between. It's either you serve one or you serve the other. You can't serve both. God either has a hold of you or money does. Isaac did a great job sharing last week, as I said, and if you've not listened to the podcast, but he spoke about how we are either being mastered by money or we're those who master money. The way we handle money, our attitude towards it, how we spend it, how we direct it, what we save it for, what we give it to, all of it gives us an insight to where our focus or our affections point to. If you looked at my bank statements, you would get a good idea of what I value. You get a really good idea from my spending, my subscriptions, my memberships, my giving. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. In other words, we give into what we value. The Bible has 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 on faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. And oftentimes in church, it's kind of a weird thing to talk about because money is like very personal. My family never talked about money. I have no idea if we had a lot of money when we were a kid or not. In fact, actually, I don't because we did a lot of layaway back then. I don't even know if layaway is still a thing. But my mom was like, we'll put on layaway, dear. And it was like, there was stuff on layaway for like 2 years at Walmart. If you don't know what that is, you could book something at Walmart and not pay for it, and pay for it slowly until you paid it off, and then you could take that thing because you laid it away for a later date, okay? 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions. In the Gospels, 1 out of 10 verses, 288 in all, deal directly with the subject of money. We as believers are called to be generous and hold God higher than material wealth and the things of earth. The Bible encourages us that it's, and in fact Jesus encourages us, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Proverbs 11 says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped." Nobody likes to be stingy. It's a great word, though, stingy. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." I like how the Message puts it, because it says, giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Our whole Christian journey is about giving. No one modeled giving more beautifully than Jesus. God, it was his whole thing. He's a giver. God gave his son so that we could have life. He gave us life in our bodies so that we could have life. And no one modeled giving more beautifully than Jesus. He spent his whole life doing nothing but giving and giving and giving. And he calls us to follow in his footsteps. And it's through the giving of our time, our resources, our emotional energy, and money that we see his kingdom extended. I give out of my finances because I love and worship him, and I want to see his kingdom fill the earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Money never made a man happy, nor will it. The more a man has, the more he wants. Instead of filling a vacuum, it makes one." And today we're going to talk about tithing, and I believe that tithing is God's way of releasing me from self-effort, materialism, and anxieties that grip so many. Tithe is an old English word that comes from the Hebrew word tenths. In general, the term is used when talking about giving one-tenth or 10% of what is earned and giving it back to God. So anybody that earns money, tithe is where we take 10% and we give it back to God. That's what tithe means, a tenth, 10%. If you don't earn money, you can't tithe. It's all about what you earn, you give 10%. In Genesis 4, we read about Cain and Abel, who are Adam and Eve's kids. And when they grow up, Genesis 4, it says, "When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected." We looked at this last week too, or Isaac did with us. And it says, Cain brought some of the crops, but Abel brings the best of the firstborn. Cain brought some of the crops, and God dejected. He's like, "Hey, I don't like this." Abel brought the best of the firstborn, and God's like, "Hey, I like this one." And as you read the Bible, you find that this idea of firsts or first fruits or the firstborn comes up again and again and again, and the first becomes sort of synonymous with the tithe. In 2 Chronicles, we see that where it says, "The Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, olive oil, and honey, and all that the fields produce. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything." The firsts, the tithes. Right from Genesis, we see an important principle at work of giving God from our first and our best. And that's true of anything in our life, not just our money. He calls us to give us our first and our best. He gets all of our attention. He deserves everything we have. He deserves my best because he gave me his best. And that includes my wallet. Genesis 14 says, in verse 17 to 20, we get a story of Abraham. And this is the first mention of tithing. And it says, it's a story, I won't read it, but Abraham, he's returning from war after winning a great battle. Abraham being the father of our faith. And he meets this priest named Melchizedek, who's a bit of a sneaky, suspicious sort of character in the Bible. He's called the priest of God Most High. He's without father or mother. He's without beginning or end. And he's the king of Salem, which means like king of peace. Kind of, that sounds familiar, right? He comes with some bread and wine, right? That sounds a little bit familiar too. And he blesses Abraham. And it says that Abraham then responds to this by giving him a tithe, giving this priest a tithe, a tenth of everything to the priest of the Most High. This is all happening, by the way, before the law of Moses. This is pre-law. So for us that might look at this and think, well, tithe is like an Old Testament law thing. Well, this is before the law. And Abraham is the father of our faith, and he's tithing. This isn't a law or a legalism sort of thing. This is a faith thing. And it's even more insane because the writer of Hebrews unpacks this suspicious character, Melchizedek, which is a great name, by the way. If anybody's having babies, please name your kids Melchizedek. Please, because that's an amazing name. And Hebrews unpacks it and says that this priest is actually a type of Christ. This is Jesus. Jesus in the Old Testament? Yeah, like he does appear in the Old Testament, by the way. They call this Christophanies or Theophanies. He's said to be the other guy in the fiery furnace. There's another man in the fire. There's a song about that. And there's the scriptures about it too. Probably go to the scriptures before the song, but if you want to sing the song while you read it, then great. And we read that this Melchizedek is Jesus. He has no beginning and no end. This is pretty important. Pretty important. If you watch Kirby Enthusiasm, you'll understand that. Abraham gives a tenth, a tithe, a tenth of everything, and he's tithing to a type of Christ. He's tithing to Jesus. This, to me, is a strong enough passage when we combine it with the book of Hebrews to say, okay, we are part of the Abrahamic tribe. He is the father of faith. We read in Romans that we find that out quick when we read Romans that the blessing of Abraham has come upon us as the Gentiles. I have Abrahamic faith. And if Abraham tithed to Jesus, I want to tithe to Jesus. This is also the first mention of tithe, which is important because when things are mentioned for the first time, it sort of sets the tone in Scripture. It's called the law of first mention or the principle of first mention in Scripture, and it sets the tone for what comes later in the Bible. It's like, take note. This is important. Take heed, good fellows and fellettes. That's not even a word. The first mention of tithing is from the father of faith giving to Jesus before the law. Slide on over then to another first mention in Genesis 28, and we get the first mention of the house of God, where we pick it up with Abraham's grandson, Jacob. We find a story of Jacob, and he's been on the run. He's trying to find his way. He's estranged from his brother. He has this dream, and God appears to him and says that he's going to do with Jacob what he did with his granddad, Abraham. He's going to be with him. He's not going to leave him. And in Genesis 28, we read, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. He names the place Bethel, and then he goes on to say, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth, a tithe, 10%. Jacob experiences God in a powerful way. This is like a conversion moment for Jacob. And he has this encounter with God, and his response is to give to God. a tenth, a tithe of everything. God, you've blown my socks off. You've blown me away, and you're amazing, you're wonderful, you're grand, you're magnificent. This is none other than the house of God. My response to you is to give you out of what you've given me. This is my act of worship. Surely this is the house of God. That sounds familiar too. If you think about Paul, he uses the same language to describe the church in the New Testament. God, of everything that you give me, I give a tithe, a tenth. Let's jump way ahead to Matthew 23 and let's see what Jesus has to say about this kind of stuff. And he's pointing out some hypocrisy of the Pharisees, who are like uber religious kind of dudes, get it wrong all the time, really annoyed Jesus, probably would have annoyed me too. And he hits them up and he says this in Matthew 23. He says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, your mint, your dill, your cumin. But you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, faith." Then he says this, "You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." Imagine the Pharisees. They got all these spices, and they're literally trying to, like, figure out what a tenth of cumin is to bring it into the temple. Like, they've become, like, super religious about this. They become very legalistic about it. They take their cumin, their cardamom, their five spice, I don't know, like, whatever other spices they had, nutmeg, masala. And can you imagine them doing this? And Jesus is like, "Guys, you're going to all the effort to get an exact amount, but you've neglected the more important matters of justice, mercy, and faith. This has just become a legalistic thing that's devoid of the basics of faith." And this is the perfect time for Jesus to flip the script on tithing. This is a great opportunity for him to change the arrangement. Like, "Hey, Pharisees, like, no need to tithe on the dill anymore, guys. Like, forget the mint, the 10% of the mint leaf that you put into the offering. Like, just, you know, we can do without that." But he doesn't do that. Instead, Jesus affirms that it should still be done. "You should tithe, yes." He's saying that they should keep doing it. We're called to be generous. Tithe is found pre-law with Abraham and Jacob. Tithe is found also in the law. We didn't go through all of that in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, but it's there where it talks about the tithe and bringing offerings to the Lord, where it was used primarily to meet the economic needs of the worship center, the temple, or the tabernacle, and secondarily to meet the needs of those in need, the marginalized Israelites at the time. And then we find that Jesus affirms the tithe. This is me saying that I believe in the tithe. Preface with what I said at the beginning, that this is a church where we believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and we make decisions based on what we see in the Word. I've been a serial tither for 21 years plus, and there's enough there to convince me personally. And if you're like me, you want to please the Lord. And so you'll look at scriptures, you'll look through the lens of the Bible and understand a theology around this, and you'll pray and you'll ask him to speak to you about it. And as I read this, I think, man, like, okay, I believe in the tithe personally. I've always tithed. But when I read about the New Testament church, I'm like, dang, like, these guys gave a lot more than 10%. Like, if that, I mean, that's the base level. Like, if we're going to go New Testament on our, like, I'm going to go New Testament on you right now, right? And I don't know why I got all Southern there. I'm like, guns. And I don't know why they have guns like that, too. I'm like Wile E. Coyote, who didn't have guns, but Simony Sam did. all their offerings, rein it back. If you look at even the Old Testament, the Israelites, if you worked out, I read one commentator, they worked it out, that if you take in all the offerings, the sin offerings, the offerings for, like, firstborn kids, the wave offerings, if you take all those, they had to leave the edges of the field, they tithe. If you take all that, it was around 30% of their income that they gave back to God. The New Testament believers gave even more than that. They sold their homes. Hello. Like, I don't know if I have faith for that yet. I don't even have a home to sell. But but if I did, then I wouldn't have faith for it. They gave away all their possessions. They took up offerings for other believers. We heard the story of the woman basically breaking the alabaster jar of perfume over Jesus' feet, which was a year's wages. It was something crazy like 50% plus they gave back to the Lord. They understood generosity. It was an overflow like Jacob. They had an encounter with God, and as a result, they said, I'm all in. I'm all in with my life. I'm all in with my time. I'm all in with my mind. I'm all in with my soul, and I'm all in with my wallet. They understood that the kingdom of God can be extended through their giving. And I don't see an option for us not to be generous. Alex and I have always tithed, and I personally don't think we'll never not tithe. In fact, I know we won't, because we have found so much blessing from it. And so here's some quick points of why we tithe. I tithe because I want to worship and honor God. It's a way in which I acknowledge His grace and goodness in my life. God, You gave me everything. You gave me my talent, my ability. You gave me the ability to make money. My job, my income, the breath in my body, my family. And out of all that You've given me and done for me, I acknowledge that it's from You and You alone. Deuteronomy presents the tithe as an expression of gratitude for grace received, like the offering of Noah. God, thank You for saving me. Thank You for my life. It's an expression of thanks and gratitude of all that He's done and given me. And I want to bring Him the first and the best of my treasure because He is where. Why do I tithe? I tithe because I believe it's the Lord's. It's actually not really even giving. If you look at tithe, it's giving back. Leviticus 27, it says, but no one can consecrate the firstborn of the livestock, whether an animal from the herd or flock, to the Lord, because the firstborn already belongs to the Lord. The tithe there belongs to the Lord. The first belongs to the Lord. Again, we see in Leviticus 27, every tenth of the land's produce, the grain, the soil, the fruit, the tithe, it says, belongs to the Lord. It's holy for the Lord. Malachi 3:8, you'll know this one well. It says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are you robbing me? And he says, in tithes and offerings. Malachi the prophet here is expressing something from God, and he's saying that you're robbing me because you're not bringing the tithe into the temple, into the storehouse. You can't rob someone of something if it's not theirs in the first place. The tithe belongs to God, and if I don't give the tithe, I believe personally, like it says here in Malachi, that I'm robbing Him of what's His. It's strong language, I know, but it's in the Bible. Deuteronomy 14:23 says that tithing teaches us the fear of the Lord. It's not a tip. It's not a bonus to Him when things are good. It's His money. I don't choose whether I feel like He deserves it or not. He is the Lord, and He is Lord of all or not of all. The starting point for my giving is the tithe. I see this as a foundation for our family in which I can be a generous giver. I see the tithe as His, and we see the 90% as 100% in our family. The first thing we do is we bring the tithe to Him. I tithe because it supports and releases people. It's used to support, to release, and to bless people. In Malachi, we get a snapshot of how the tithe was used for this, and it says they would bring their grain and their produce to something called the storehouse. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And then he goes on to say, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour so much blessing that you will have not room enough to store it. The same God who says, don't test me, says in this one area, you're allowed to test me. And just see that I will not pour open the heavens for you. I bring the tithe into the storehouse. Now, this is a funny word because we don't have a storehouse full of grain here, but I believe that that is where I am fed from. And where am I fed from now? I'm fed spiritually from my local church. I bring the tithe into the local church that I attend. It's where I'm cared for. It's where I'm fed spiritually. I bring the full tithe into my local church. And I believe that doesn't mean 5% to the church and 5% to my favorite charity. This is my storehouse. And so I bring my full tithe, and then anything over and above that is an offering to things like compassion or things that we give to as a family. Bringing the full tithe into my local church is how I can help support people. That there may be food in my house, it says. We want to support two types of people here at Local through the giving of the tithe, through the generosity of the church. When we bring our finances, it helps support those who have given up other paid work so that they can serve us in the church. People who have given up full-time work to be our administrative staff, like Dallin Humphrey, who does a great job in running our offices. Yeah, she does deserve a round of applause. She's got a baby in her belly. She got maternity coming up. She loves it when she's pointed out. In the Old Testament, we see this, where it was used to look after those who looked after the temple, the Levites, the priests. So we use it to look after our pastors, which does, it's kind of weird because it does include me, but it includes Jaden and Alex, for those who are on staff. And it also is used to support anybody who has a need. People who have given up their jobs. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, he's speaking about those who served in the temple and looked after the tithes and offerings. And he says in 9:14, he says, in the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. It would be a tragedy if our church didn't have the pastoral care or the pastors it needs to feed us spiritually from this storehouse. And I say that unashamedly because I've been a tithe in my life and I love to partner with the local church so that I can release people in order to feed me spiritually through the word, the administration staff to make possible all the great things we do here. And it's also used to support those who have need, to look after those in our midst that have need, the poor, the needy, the widows, the fatherless. We see this as the heartbeat of God again and again and again, to look after the poor amongst you, to look after those in need. When I tithe, I'm participating in God's way of providing these things. I tithe because it fuels ministries and missions. When the storehouse is filled, the house is happy and healthy. The church has ministry, has the ministry it needs, and we can help those in need. And it fuels what we do here at Local Church each month. And I can partner with that by reaching more people for Jesus, by ensuring that our youth have a great program that they can run, to ensuring that the kids downstairs have a great time together with crafts that they need and the snacks that they need to fuel them and to fuel the leaders that give up their time weekly to look after them. The meals that Matthew and his team put together on First Sunday, it's fueled by the giving of our tithes and our offerings. It helps fuel the reaching of the lost in our city. It's renting this space to worship in so that people can come in and experience the kingdom of God, the presence of God. When the church receives regular tithes and offerings, it means that we can put on what we put on here so that we can reach this city for Jesus. And I want to partner with that. And I've always wanted to partner with that. Why do I tithe? I believe it also releases blessing. This isn't the basis for my tithing. We don't start here, but it's a consequence of it, and it's a glorious consequence of it, where in Malachi 3, he says, test me in this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and see that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. I tithe because I want to honor the Lord. I tithe because I love him and I fear him. Getting blessing isn't the motive. He's not a dancing monkey that I can wave a magic wand and say, hey, I tithe, like, make sure you give me that thing that I wanted. It's not about that. I tithe because I believe it's the right thing to do, and the glorious consequence is that he promises blessing. It's good for me. He wants me to be fruitful and productive. Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. I want my barn to be plenty, to have plenty, and I want my vat to be overflowing. I don't have those specific things, but that's an image of my life, the overflow of my life, and I believe that he wants to bless me. It's an act of faith, and if I give him the first 10%, then I say that I'm trusting him to come through with what follows. God always responds to faith. In any giving, he says that if you sow abundantly, you will reap abundantly. I believe that it's a great leveler. There's no such thing as big tithers or small tithers. There are tithers. It's the 10% squad, all right? There are no levels or tax brackets like the government where he says, hey, if you make tons of money, you have to give more. It's 10% for everyone. And Alex and I, we got married in 2006. This is a very long time ago. We're old. 18 years ago, I think, this August. Wow, good for us. Heck yes. Gets better and better. And back then, we were talking about it this week. We made very, very little. We lived in the UK. I couldn't work because I didn't have a work visa yet. We got married, and we were trying to get my work visa through. Alex was the breadwinner in our house, and we made £12,000 at the time, a year. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, we thought that too. But right from the get-go, we decided we're going to be tithers. And after the tithe and the bills and the food and the gas, we had £11 left for spending. We still have our old spreadsheets, actually, from way, way back. We have all these tabs. Alex kind of keep a tally of what each of our budget was. And it's great to look back because we can see. What happened was we had £11 to spend. And we came to God and we said, your word says that we can test you in this. And we believe in the tithe. And we put that to God. And that very week, we had a family from the church come to us, not knowing that we were praying about this, not knowing that we were 11 pounders. And pound is the money and currency. We weren't like 11 pounds because we weren't eating, by the way, or anything. And we weren't like malnutrition. But they gave us money weekly. They almost sponsored us. And God out of nowhere blessed us. And throughout our life, there were needs that rose up in our family where we found God came through for us. And I believe that's out of our giving, and part of that is because we were tithers and because we were generous over and above that as well. Where we had cars that were given to us out of the blue. Money through the door unexpectedly, unexpected trips. Tithing wasn't dependent on how much money we made. God always looked after us. And whenever we received income, we tithed it. Salary, we tithed. Child benefit, we tithed. Side hustles, we tithed. It was his. And we tithed when we had very little coming in, and we tithed when we had lots coming in. And we tithed, as Isaac said last week, we tithed on the gross amount before tax. Jesus said, give to Caesar what Caesar's, and what God's is God's. And we always try to make it, I'm speaking in past tense, but I should speak in present. We try to make it our first payment. We want to give him our first and our best. We want to make sure that it leaves our account so that we aren't tempted to spend it. That's us personally. Because he deserves our best, including my finances. We don't want to wait to the end of the month and see if there's any leftovers for God. And he's always looked after us. And then finally, if we could have the keys come up. I believe that it rewires my heart away from what culture is trying to teach me. Get, hoard, 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 more, more, more. Right from the get-go, at the start of the month, when we receive income, it's give, give, give. It's him, him, him. I'm trusting God rather than my own efforts and abilities. And it sets me free from feeling like I got to do it all on my own. I believe tithing is an antidote to materialism and greed, because every time I tithe, I'm deciding not to buy something or do something else. I'm deciding not to, I believe, rob him and spend it on me. Instead, say, God, I want to honor you. And the beginning of every month with our money, as well as we do this with our time, and we should do this in every part of our life, but with our wallet, with our income, we say, God, I want to put you first. A way of saying less of me and more of you. And it does require saying no to things, saying no to that extra meal out some months, that subscription, that car lease. The extra things that if I stop and think probably aren't as important as him and wanting to please him. You see, I live to serve and serve him alone. And I tithe because I want to sow into eternal things. I want to sow into what I know is good soil. And I don't think he's opposed to nice things at all. Hear me right. I think he loves to bless us. This isn't me bringing a poverty gospel. This isn't also me bringing a prosperity gospel. This is me bringing what I believe is a generosity gospel. We've had so many testimonies of him providing again and again and again. I want all of my life to reflect my love and reverence for him. And I want my wallet to reflect that too. When I pray, I'm stating my belief that God can intervene. When I fast, I'm declaring that he's my daily bread. And when I tithe, I'm making a statement that the Lord is my source and my provider. I tithe because I see it in Scripture. I tithe because I want to honor God with every aspect of my life. I tithe because it's good for me. I tithe because I believe it fuels mission and ministry. I tithe because I believe it fuels the local church. And I tithe, and what gets me really excited, I tithe and I bring offerings. And remember that New Testament church. So 10%'s here. But remember, what we read is like, in actual fact, they gave way over that. I bring all of that because I want to see his kingdom extended. I am so passionate about seeing him reach every corner of this earth. And it will take resource. It will take time. It will take my emotional energy. It will take me saying no to some things and yes to other things. And it will also take my money to reach the lost. The girls that are going out to an unknown country, to the 0.05% of people that don't know Jesus. It requires resource to fly there, to go there, to live there. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this and see that if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you, yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You know, this was probably a lot to take in. If you're here for the first time, this is like more of like a teacher like vibe than like hoorah rah. But do you know what? I'm actually really excited about this, because through the giving of our time, our finance, through the generosity of his people, I believe we'll see this planet transformed. I remember being in Zambia. We went on a missions trip. We took a youth group there when we lived in the UK. And we went to this church. Firstly, it was like the happiest place of my life. They didn't have loads. It was like in the village in the middle of nowhere. Most of them walked like 3 or 4 hours to get to this church service. And their hearts toward God was just like the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. The worship was probably like as close to heaven as I've ever been. And I remember the songs that they would sing. And I remember they took up an offering, they took up the tithe, and this one lady came, She didn't have anything. She had nothing. She had was these spoons that she made, just out of wood. And I saw her come up. And out of what God gave her, she put these spoons in the offering basket. And at that moment, I said, God, may I never take for granted what you've given me. And with my life, you deserve everything, like that lady who laid those spoons, all that she had, as an offering. That's, she just said, I don't make an income, but I can still give. Let my heart be that. And this is the heartbeat of this message. It's not a twisting of anybody's arm. We're not here to say, hey, you got to give at the end of this. There's none of that. There's total freedom here. But man, the world needs Jesus. He needs a generous people to reach that world. And I want this to be a place where we cultivate a culture that we just give everything to Him. Tithing is a practice that we as a couple that have found so much life and blessing and freedom from. And our offerings over and above that, as we've sown, I believe He moves on anything that we give. Hear me right. Whether it's 5% or 2% or 30% or 60%, like we've seen in the New Testament, He will move on that faith. But let's not let our default position be like, oh, I'm going to explain away all giving. That's not what He's called us to. For me, tithing is the base level in which it will launch me into having a generous life. It's a way in which I say, God, this is like me just saying, like, I don't even trust myself. If I held back the tithe, I don't know if I would give. So this is me saying, I'm going to put you first, and this is my declaration and worship to you because it's yours. And so the actions here are really, I would say, pray. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about this. Pray and listen. And if you've been someone who has been not sure about tithing, test Him. He says we're allowed to test Him. And so maybe give it a couple months testing and see what happens. And see that He might just open the floodgates of heaven. That doesn't always mean it comes back to me in material things, by the way, either. I believe he there's a spiritual principle where if I honor Him with my wealth and my material things, He says that He will give me true riches. And I have found that the Word is illuminated in ways that, man, revelation, peace, joy is all accessible as I say, I'm putting you first in my material things and stewarding the little that you've given me so that I can have the much, the spiritual things. If you'd like to stand with me, team can come up. I'd like to pray for us. And I'm going to pray that God, I'm going to pray a blessing over all the homes here, whether you're a tither or a non-tither. I'm going to pray for you to know the blessing of the Lord, because I believe that is His will for you, to know His blessing, to know His goodness. And so, Father, right now, in this room, I pray, Father, that this would be, firstly, that we would be a people marked by generosity. Father, I would love the reputation of this church to be the most generous church in town. Not only with money, but with our time, with our love, with our resource, with our homes, with our tables, with our food, with everything that we have, Father, that we would be generous as an act of worship towards You. And Holy Spirit, I ask that You speak to us, that through all these scriptures, through everything that was shared, Father, I just ask, Father, that it would be You that speaks to us, that there would be no condemnation in this room, that we would know Your grace and Your freedom in this room, that this wasn't a twisting of the arm, but Father, that we would know Your freedom and Your will in our lives, And that, Father, we would have ears to hear what you would say on all of that side of our life. That when we honor you with our wealth, when we honor you with what you've given us, that we would see a blessing. And so, Father, I pray for a blessing on every home, every person, every family, that we would know your goodness and provision. We would know your closeness and your presence. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.